husband had asked the intercessors to pray for me because I have been going through I felt like a pressure cooker. And my head felt a lot of pressure and my jaw was hurting. And it was just a weekend of deliverance that I was invited to go and do with another pastor. And I had felt fine up to an hour that we had to go and meet this individual. But praise God, the minute that I walked in here, I just felt a complete break. And it is in his presence, amen, that there's healing. Everything that you need is in his presence, amen. Well, I'm Pastor Jennifer DeLeon, and my husband is John David DeLeon. We're with City of God Worship Center. And so, as you guys know, Pastor Marty and First Lady Inez are out having a wonderful, well-deserved time. Amen? And so they're in our prayers. We are just blessed by the work that they're doing. We experienced some time with them at Valero Field, and it was just amazing to see what work God is doing through his people. Amen? And so we're just honored to be here today, to be trusted in this house with the people from House of Manna. Amen. We don't take it lightly. So thank y'all. Thank y'all for having us. Thank you for your prayers. Amen. And thank you for the coffee, because it's good. It's good. Amen. Before I introduce my husband, there was something that stood out to me in one of the songs that was being played. It was, I Believe. I Believe. I believe. And I don't know if any of you are going through a situation where you're walking in the dark, but I want to encourage you and tell you to hold on what God has shown you in the light. Because his word is truth, amen? And so the Lord reminded me quickly about the father who had taken his son because he was in need of healing. You'll find a story in Matthew 9. And he went to take his son to see if he could receive healing, but the disciples couldn't cast out what was going on with him. And so he made his way to Jesus, and he said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said this to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And what strikes me about this father who's at his wit's end, who has been dealing with a son that has been afflicted and in sickness, and there was no remedy to his condition, that he comes to the people of God and they're not able to bring deliverance or healing, but he comes to the master and Jesus says, if you believe. And what blessed me was at the heart of the father that he cries out and he says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because I don't know about you, sometimes we can be believing for something and then we go through a season where we're kind of iffy and wishy and washy and we don't really, it taints our belief. But he said, help my unbelief, because he was in a situation where he could not stand strong anymore. I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus did what he would do for anyone else, because God is no respecter of persons. When you believe, even faith the size of the mustard seed, Abraham believed against all adversity, against all, just he hoped, irregardless of the situation and his time and his condition and his wife, he believed. So I came to encourage somebody, believe. And if you're going through a situation where you feel that your belief isn't as strong as it used to be, cry out to God and confess to him, help my unbelief. Amen. Because the strategy of the enemy as you carry the kingdom of God within you is to stop every seed from going forth. So he comes to distract and delay and to discourage. And so when he gets you off focus, off of the Lord, guess what? You can no longer be about your father's business, because the world is crushing in on you. But the Bible says that God always makes a way of escape. Always makes a way of escape. But I could tell you that it's in his presence. Amen? Because there's a greater work of ministry that we're called to do. And it's in a very needed hour, in this hour, that we must move forward in the things of God, staying centered on God, staying focused on God, because he has given you power and dominion, authority to bring forth the kingdom. Amen? Amen. And so my husband, he's prepared a wonderful word about how to continue in the work strategically in the ministry. Amen. And I believe that it's going to bless you. It's going to give you a strategy. It's going to give you insight. And it's going to cause you to continue to move forward. Amen. So without further ado, my husband, Pastor John David De Leon.
Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap. Let's give God a hand clap this morning. Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Don't patty cake him. Come on, keep it going. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for every individual, Father God. We praise you, Lord. We lift you up, Father God. Keep pressing in, Lord. Help our unbelief, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. You're mighty and wonderful. Awesome. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Amen. I remember in the Old Testament, they say, your heart, mind, soul, body, do those things. Those things, because back in those days, there was a God for the heart. There was a God for the soul. There was a God for the mind. There was a God for this and God for that. God say, no, let God is God. He's all that in one. He's all that in one. He can do all those things. That's why they had to lay it out and say all those other things. No, worship God. He is a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Amen. Who's excited about this morning? Amen. Who woke up happy and encouraged? All right. Lionel. All right. All right. I'm going to use that joke, that Mexican first black name, Mexican last name. Do that one. Amen. Who had a wonderful time at Valero Field? Who was there? Amen. 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 I saw nothing but seeds being sown, the gospel going forth, lives being changed. Amen. I don't know if you had the privileged opportunity to lead someone to the Lord, but you probably prayed with somebody, encouraged somebody. At the end of the time there, there was a gentleman named Lupe. I had the awesome opportunity to lead him to the Lord. He was there tattooed up, and I just felt a draw to him. Well, actually, I'm lying. I didn't. I was there talking to him, and then I was like, I'm tired of taking pictures, it's a long day. And the Lord said, be sensitive to this time right now. And I sat down, put my bag down, and I started talking to him and let the Lord use me during that time. And that was, I just asked him at the end, man, thank you, Lupe, for allowing me to pray with you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But he was at the fence looking at the ministry was going on, what's happening, hearing, I'm sure, the sounds echoing off the walls and things, all this jammy jams out there in the west side, God going forth, and he got drawn by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. 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 That was an awesome time. We had a great time. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read some other scriptures for you and give a better understanding, the setting and things of what God is doing. But good to see you, man of God. Good to see you. Amen. We are excited to be with you guys. We are excited to be here this morning. We came expecting. We came excited to see what God would do in our lives. Amen. Not just from the pulpit, but from you guys. Amen. What God is doing in this house. In this house. Thank you, Pastor Marty. So chapter 4, we're going to begin. The title is A Pattern for Productive Ministry. A Pattern for Productive Ministry. How many in this place are being stirred up to do something new? Maybe God is stirring you something. Like 3 years ago, he reminded you today. Last year, you ain't doing it yet. He's stirring you up, right? He's got that pot of mole. He's got that chicken soup. He's got that gumbo, whatever that pot is. My wife makes some good comida, man. She stirs it up, and I come inside the house long day. Man, that's it. A pot of love, amen? A pot of love. But God is doing those things. So there's some of you in this house this morning that are excited about what God is doing and learning new things, stepping into ministry, stepping into doing things and that God's called you or calling you to do, right? A ministry function, not just warming the chair. A ministry function, right? There's a point that we come in, we warm the chair for many months or however long, then we start warming the door and start, you know, doing those things, being the greeter, start working and operating in ministry. So today is that teaching today. A pattern for productive ministry. The beginning point of this morning is that you are called to be a herald of the gospel. Amen. You are called to be a herald of the gospel. If you're taking notes, mental notes, it's going to be a lot of mental notes. But if you're taking notes on your iPad, iNotes, whatever you got, take them up. Amen. You are called to be a herald for the gospel. Before we begin further, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, your presence, the power, the authority, for your blood, Father God. We thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. We give you praise and honor. Bless the hearers and bless the doers of your word. Bless the readers of your word, Father God. And let the seed sown today produce 160, even 30 times than what was sown. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. So we're called to be a herald of the gospels, to tell others about Jesus Christ. Amen. In Matthew chapter 4, there's four short paragraphs that are going to break down these things that Christ did that we could do, a pattern for productive ministry. The purpose of ministry, remember, is to be a herald. Be a herald of the gospel. Be a herald of the gospel. You're there to talk, to share, to publish, to tell, to invite, to do those things of the gospel that Christ Jesus has done for you. Those things, that life-saving message that touched your life. Amen. That life-saving message that touched your life, you're there called to touch someone else. I'm going to read this scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 14. He says, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? That's in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. So if we reverse engineer that, we are going to be sent to herald the gospel. We're going to preach. They're going to hear and they're going to believe. Amen. You're going to be sent. You're going to preach. They're going to hear and they're going to believe. Psalms chapter 26, verse 7, it says like this, proclaiming aloud your praises and telling of all your wondrous deeds. Proclaiming aloud your praises and telling of all your wondrous deeds. Man, if I sat there and told you my story of all the wonderful deeds that he did, right? We would have a list, a long list. Some of us would have miles of lists, right? Amen. That's just me, right? Probably that's just me. Amen. God is good. You could possibly be that one crying in the wilderness. Remember, this is a pattern for productive ministry. This is not a pattern for warming the chair. A pattern for doing those things. It's a pattern for productive ministry as we move forward with the things of God. Remember, think about that. Remember those things that God is doing in our church, in our lives, in our community. You could be the one in the wilderness crying out, making a way for the Lord. You could be that one, that only one, maybe on your apartment complex, maybe on that property, maybe in your cubicle, on your floor. You could be that only one. And yet you stand with many. You're not alone. He promises never to leave you. You are called to be a herald of the gospel. You will find yourselves at times preaching to the darkness. Amen. Valero Field, we were preaching to the darkness. Amen. Those things, and not just events of that nature, but Bible studies, anything that God is calling you to do. We are raised up in the house of the Lord to be sent out to do the works of the Lord. Amen. We are raised up in the house of the Lord to be sent out to do the works of the Lord. You are called to take the kingdom to the marketplace. You are called to take the kingdom to the marketplace. Write down. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Stretch your hands. Let's pray right now. Father, we just thank you for this brother that has that ministry that you've already spoken to him about, Father God. And we command your seeds to come forth in everything of oppression and depression and suppression, Father God, of the enemy. We bind those things up and we command them to come out right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this man of God. We thank you, Lord, for this young man that he would herald the gospel of you, Father God, of the kingdom. Bring the good news to the prisoners and set them free. Set the captives free. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Give him a praise. Amen. You are called to take the kingdom to the marketplace. We are called to take the kingdom to the marketplace. Yes, it's one thing to be in the church house, to be the light and the salt. Man, I'm light, I'm shiny, I'm bright, I'm salty in the church house, praying and crying out and falling off the floor and running around the church. I'm a runner too, right? Man, I'm running and running around the church. Yes, when the Spirit flows, yes, that's wonderful. It's one thing here in the church house, but it's another thing. We're not called to be that in the house. We're called to be that in the marketplace. Amen. You got to believe that. That's what God says. Amen. That's what God says. So turn with me quickly. I want to read this to you. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 13. This is the thing that he's called us to do. So he's talking about pastors, prophets, raising up apostles, pastors, teachers, to what? To prepare God's people for the works of service. All these things, all the fivefold ministry, right? Oh, wonderful. I'm a bishop, archbishop to the third power. But, you know, we're called to do those things, to raise them up. Amen? Raise them up. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach. Until what? Not just me. Until we all reach the unity of the faith into the knowledge of the Son of God. And becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. As we come together, do you see that? I'm excited about the word this morning. You guys get excited with me. All of us are members, many members becoming one, right? Many members becoming one body. God, he had the full measure by himself, the full embodiment, Christ Jesus. But all of us, as we come together, attaining to the full measure of the stature of Christ, we are going to be like him. That's crazy, right? When you think about that, all of us got to come together. So I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you to operate. I need you to function the way God's called you to function. Man of God in the back, the prison ministry, I need you to function that way because there's people dying every day without you being in that position. Same position. Where's the position? Right? This is it right here. Are we holding our positions? Amen. Are we holding our positions? Are we allowing God to build those, what did Pastor Marty say, the fragments? Are we allowing God to use those fragments for what? For the works of service. For the works of service. Because there's someone else just like me, tattooed, coming from the hood of Barrio back in L.A. in San Antonio, that needs Christ. Amen? There's someone just like you that needs Christ. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith into the knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure, the fullness of Christ. Imagine that. And then the Holy Spirit tells me this. The measure that you have, right? We say, I hear it all the time. Give me more of your Spirit, Lord. It sounds wonderful. More of you. It sounds awesome. It sounds great. It sounds kind of spooky sometimes. But think about this. The measure that you have is, it'll take you a lifetime. The measure that you have, the things that you have deposited within you, are right. That's all you need. So what my prayer is during those times, Lord, help me maximize what I have. Help me to maximize what I have. I don't want to be spooky. I don't want to be crying out, Lord, more of you. If I'm not even... Help me maximize what I have of you currently right now and do those things that you've called me to do. Amen? Amen. So I was looking on the website and it says the mission statement of House of Manna. Who knows the mission statement? Amen. Amen. I don't fully know it, but I was looking through it. Amen. Mission statement of House of Manna, Pastor Marty, your church. He says that we would be first responders to the needs of the community. Amen. I said, wow, that sounds really good. First responders. Amen. So I thought about firefighters. I thought about first responders naturally. They go through training. They go through different things. They go through rigorous training, schooling, other things. Of year after year, they advance the level. So 3 years from now, I should be seeing things from you. Pastor Marty should be seeing, right? Amen. Training. First responders to the needs of the community. Amen. That's an awesome vision. Skilled, trained, accurate, schooling, time in and time out, going forward, learning those things. Over the off season of the Spurs or the my favorite team, the Raiders, over the football season and those things, right? They go through the same training, same basics of ministry. Same thing, man. You learned it last year. Well, we're learning it again. Same drills, same runs, same plays, right? To sharpen your skill, to sharpen. Because why? Because sometimes in that season, this different players come in, different players go out. So now I got to learn how to gel with you. I got to learn how to see what you need. And I got to be that first responder, that sensitive, hearing my listening, what you need. How can we work together to advance the vision of the house? Amen. Amen. Let me tell you this one thing right here. Listen to this. As I begin to advance the vision of this house, God's going to advance the vision of my house. Amen. So let's remember that as I begin to advance the vision of God's house in this house where I'm connected to, I call this place my church. He's going to begin to advance the vision of my house and the things that I'm crying out to the Lord to do. Amen. So remember, the church is not a social club. It's not a club, a meeting book, a book club, share coffee and discuss the next bestseller. The church is a place where the army of the Lord comes to get filled, encouraged, sharpened, resourced, develop gifts, then go to do and impact the community. Amen. Give God praise. Give God praise. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Come on, work it out with me. Work it out with me this morning. Then to go. The battle's not over until we all come home. Win souls. That's what I want to say to you. I'm a rapper too. The battle's not over until we all come home. Win souls. Amen. So this is where we find our scripture here in Matthew chapter 3. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 3 verses 10, 8 and 10. It's good to see you both again. Amen. 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 It's always wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. It's always wonderful hearing the word of God. I don't know if I told you that last time I was here. Every time we are in front of the word of God, it's the best possible place for our lives at that moment. Every time that we are standing before the word of God, Bible study, Wednesday night service, Sunday morning, every time that we are hearing the word of God being preached, reading the word of God, it is the best possible place for our life at that moment. Last week we were there. Now today we're here. You know, every time as we go, you got to see that as the word, how powerful the word is. So let me explain this setting here. In this, John the Baptist is there in baptizing. John the Baptizer, right? The Sadducees and Pharisees, everybody's around looking at him. Look at this guy doing ministry. What is he about, right? The religious leaders, religious people. He says in verse 8 and 10, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. The axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. My question this morning, what is the church producing? Amen. What are we as believers producing? We are trees of righteousness. Right now this morning, I see standing before me trees of righteousness, oaks of righteousness. What are we producing? We're producing something. It's either fruits of the Spirit or fruits of the flesh. We're producing something. What are we producing? Matthew, turn with me. Matthew chapter 28. 19 and 20. And this is the Great Commission. Have we know it? We've read it before, the Go Commission. Therefore, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've commanded you. That's the Go Commission. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9, you don't got to go there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9, this is what he says, but you are a chosen people. You heard those things, right? Heard that scripture. But look at, listen to that. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare, that's a herald, it sounds like a herald, that you might declare the wonderful praises of him who's called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. You are called to be a witness. You are called to be a herald. You are called to make him known. So that's during the time of John the Baptist. He's baptizing. And then the long, lean Galilean comes over the hills, takes off his chanclas, and he says, "Baptize me." And John's like, "Whoa." He's like, "Whoa." I feel like rapping right now. He's like, "Whoa." And he says, "Suffer me this. Baptize." He said, "Man, you should baptize me, Lord. Here comes the lamb that takes away the sins of the world." That's during that time. So John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And my first point to the herald, you'll be called to be the herald for the gospel, a pattern for productive ministry that God is, Christ Jesus has left to us. My first point is, you will be tempted to stop the very thing that God asked you to start. You're going to be tempted. I thought about that. Man, should I write it like that, Lord? Yes, you need to write it like that. You're going to be tempted. Not maybe, or you might. You're going to be tempted. You will be tempted to stop the very thing God asked you to start, Cherie. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he was quickly tempted to forfeit all he was there to do. You see the story? Have you read that? Matthew chapter 4. So that's what we're at. That's what we're in right now. That's where we're staying at. Matthew chapter 4, four short paragraphs. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he was quickly tempted to forfeit all that he was there called to do. He began his ministry fighting through temptation. Amen. What a great place, right? Lord, let me have a ministry. Temptation. Oh, Lord, I wanted more of you, Lord. Ah, temptation. Amen. Right? What a great pattern. Thank you, Lord. Baptism. Check this out. During that setting, you can read it there. He was baptized. The Spirit of God spoke. God himself parted the clouds and said, "This is my son who I'm well pleased." The Spirit descended like a dove upon him. John the Baptist was identifying him, right? I'm stepping into my earthly ministry now. This is that time. I'm stepping into ministry. The enemy sees the powerful purpose, the authority that you carry as an ambassador. He sees the same things just like he saw Jesus. He sees those things being stirred up. He sees those prayers. He hears those calls. He sees that thing that, yeah, I want to do. Yes, I'm being stirred up to do this and do that. I'm called to be a prophet. I've, you know, these things, all these prophetic. Yes, the Lord is able to do those things. And the enemy wants to knock you off course. The enemy wants to knock you off course. Amen. It's something like our brother said this morning. Keep going forward. He sees that authority that you carry as an ambassador. The ministry developing within you. He wants to take what God has given you and make it for his purpose. He can never, this is one thing that I've learned, heard someone say, or I've learned that the Lord, he's the creator, right? The enemy can't create nothing. He only can cause it to die, right? The three-point plan, steal, kill, and destroy. He can take what God created and destroy it. It's like rust on a car, right? The 64 Impala, the dual antenna with switches. Man, it's nice, right? That he can take that nice car. If you don't take care of it, there's a little bit of rust. That whole piece will turn to rust. If you don't take care of it, that's how the enemy is. That little piece in our lives, that little nook and corner right there. Yep, he's going to. And then I'm reminded of the foothold. Of the foothold. You know, when a mountain climber climbs a mountain, what does he need? He just needs where his fingers can just grab on and he can scale the mountain. Guess what? The enemy, that's all he needs. He don't need you to open the door all wide. Come on in, enemy. No, he don't need to fall head first. It just needs a little foothold. It needs a little crack and crevice in your character to take over. Amen. That's what God is doing in our lives, building us up, holding our positions. Amen. So the enemy wants to take those things and use it for his purpose. Obedience. He wants to take our vocabulary, our authority, and he wants to take our worship. We're going to learn that right now with Matthew chapter 4. When the fire and the test of trials begin up in opposition, opposing us, the persecution hits, you combat the enemy with the word of God. Fasting, prayer, a little more study, a little more pressing in, a little more prayer, a little more crying out, a little more service, a little more giving of my time, talent, and treasure. You battle the suggestions of the adversary with the word of God. stepping into your purpose, into ministry, you're stepping into occupied territory. Amen. Remember, we're not the book club. We're not here to sharpen each other with the next bestseller and things like that. We're not here to just to share an open discussion, roundtable stuff. No, we're here. This is the armory of God. Every Sunday and Wednesday, you're being equipped. You're being armored to go out. Know your purpose and place. As you begin to step in ministry, as you begin to do these things, know your purpose and place. Jesus knew what he was called to do. He was always focused, always sensitive to the times and the assignments shifting. Sometimes one week they will be right here in front of you sitting on the first row. The next week they're not going to be there. Sometimes they're going to be with you all forward and going, yes, volunteering, and they might not be there again. Things and stuff is shifting for the glory of the Lord. You have to stay focused. You have to know your call. You have to hold your positions. He moved forward in his calling, never laying aside or taking a break from who he was and what he was called to do. Never laying aside on who he was, who she was, and what she was called to do. That's purpose. Amen. Who's here filled with purpose? Amen. Amen. Number 2 point, you will be the light in the darkness. You will be the light in the darkness. Matthew chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Let's read it. The Bible says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus preached. Jesus began to preach. Did you see that? Jump down to chapter 10, verse 27. Chapter 10, verse 27. This is what the Bible says. I'm giving you scripture so you know these things for sure, what God has said. Chapter 10, verse 27 in Matthew. He says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. That's what my wife brought up this morning. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Proclaim from the rooftops. Learning to be obedient by what you suffered. God, he was a son. We are sons and daughters. God, Christ Jesus, he learned to be obedient, it says in Hebrews. Though he was a son, he learned to be obedient by what he suffered. Though we are sons and daughters, we will learn to be obedient by the things that we suffer. Learning through life, right? Life happens. I was ministering or talking with a pastor friend of ours. He's like, you know, sharing some things about our home and our marriage and work and life and ministry. He's like, hey, well, that's life. That's just, you know, it happens to everyone. That's just life. Learn how to navigate through those things. Make you productive for ministry. Amen. Are you blessed this morning? Amen. Number 3 point. There's only 2 more points. Number 3 is go after. Go and gather. I'm sorry. Go and gather. Christ is identified in this time in Matthew chapter 4 by John the Baptist. He is baptized. The spirit of the dove descends. The voice of his father speaks. He's identified, baptized, tempted. He stood. Ministry is released through him, preaching. Then he goes and gathers those around him. That's for us to do. Go and gather those around us. He says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, come and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Chapter 4, verses 21 and 22, he says, he saw the two brothers, James and John. They were there in the boat preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and the father and followed him. They left the boat, what they're comfortable in, their profession, their place of work, sustenance, right? They left their boat, they left their father, their covering, and they went to follow him. Amen. God can and he will speak at times to people like that. Leave all and follow. You agree with that? He can and he will speak at times. Other times you'll be bivocational. Other times you'll hold this and hold that, both things going forward until it's time to go full time in ministry, full time in what God has called you to do. Immediately they left. That's what stood out to me. It blessed me. Immediately they left what they knew and followed the Lord. Matthew, the writer of this book, He was a tax collector, and at the call of God, immediately he left. It says in the word, immediately he left collecting taxes for the Roman government and one day to follow the Lord. Elijah called Elisha one day, and he burned up all his equipment to follow the voice of the Lord. Elijah, they gave it up to give it their all. They gave it all up to give it their all. Amen. Personal accounts we can read in the Bible, different personal accounts of men and women of God who gave up everything to follow the call of God. And that's us. That's us today. That worry, that doubt, those things are not of God. You have to remember who we are and what we're called to do. God's going to thoroughly equip us. We read that scripture a few weeks ago. We're thoroughly furnished to do every good work. God has raised us up to send us out. All those wonderful things. And if this is the place we're called to in this time and this season, then let me do it with integrity. Let me do it to be an asset, an addition to this vision, an addition to this place. Amen. Personal accounts, and I can tell you personal accounts of family and friends. My grandfather, just a few years ago, maybe about 5-6 years ago, he retired in the Spanish Assemblies of God from 68 years of ministry. My other grandfather on my mom, my mom's father, he's been the elder in his church for 60-something years in that one church. Stayed steadfast, both of those men of God. And yes, they made mistakes. And yes, they grew up old school. But they taught us well. They're great providers, great men in the kingdom, doing great things. Personal accounts, we can see those things. And this is what the Holy Spirit's saying right now. He's not that he's not doing these things in the world, Brother Eric. He's not that he's not doing these things. The thing is, do you believe that he can do it in you? He's doing these things in the world. He's doing these things through people. I see write-ups and articles and pictures and stories of people that God is doing these healings and miracles and signs and wonders. But do you believe that he can do it in your life? That's the question. That's the million-dollar question. Because I can have stacks and books and volumes of things fill up this room of miracle-working power of God in the land. But if I don't believe that he can do it in my life, guess what? You're going to receive exactly what you said. God is a miracle-working God. Amen. Passionately go after the profession. Run your race. Amen. I want to encourage you with that. Passionately go after your profession and run your race that God has laid upon you. He will provide. He will provide. There's sometimes my wife and I, he's providing at the last minute before midnight. We got it. Yes. Pay it. Or we have it. Yes. Let's go. Everything is there. But he's building your character. He's building your trust. He's allowing those things to come and maybe tempt and shift you. Stay straight with God. Amen. He's going to do those things. He's going to do those things. The last point is teach, preach, and heal. So he's doing these things. He's being tempted to stop in ministry. You guys will be tempted to stop the very thing that God has asked you to do. Being the light. You're going to be the light in a dark place. You're going to be the light. You're going to be that one in the wilderness crying out. You're going to sometimes maybe eat locusts and hunt. No, I'm just joking. But you're going to be out there like, man, look at this dude. You're in the dark place. You're in that apartment. You're in that property where nobody wants to go, where the darkness is too dark. And that's where you're called to be. Pray like Nehemiah. We talked about that last week. Nehemiah prayed, planned, and prepared, and then he went and accomplished the task in record time, under budget, on time for God. Amen. Amen. Give him praise. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord. That's who we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. Tempted to stop. Being the light in the darkness. Then we go and gather those around us. Here, look at this scripture, chapter 4, verses 23, Matthew. Then he says, Jesus was going all over Galilee, what? Teaching in the synagogues, and then what? Preaching the good news of the kingdom, and then healing every disease and sickness among the people. And then he says, he healed them all. Powerful ministry right now. Powerful things that God is doing. That's what we're called to do. The standard that we should strive to as Christians, as believers, is not the standard of Pastor Marty. It's not the standard of Apostle so-and-so. It's not the standard of these things. It's not the standard of JD and Jen. It's the standard that Christ Jesus left to us. The pattern that he left to us, that's the standard that we should hold. How do I be? What do I do? The standard that Christ did and left to us, the pattern for, that's what we should strive to. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 25, let me read. The Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, because if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And then he says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, this is the mirror, but the man, a woman of God, who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, that's what your Bible says, and continues to look in the perfect law that gives freedom, in what he does, he will be blessed. In what we do, as we continue to look into the perfect law that gives freedom, as we continue to put this mirror and say, this is who I am. And then he says, if we put it down, we forget who we are. We put it down, here's the mirror, and then I go and I forget who I am. So that tells me I have to apply the word of God. I have to keep looking in this mirror as I do ministry, as I work and do these things that God has called me to do. I have to keep looking at these things and learn who I am. I have to keep feeding on these pages, on the manna, the fresh manna. Amen. I have to keep looking in this mirror because it tells me who I am. Do you agree? Do you saints agree? Amen. That's true. That's what it says. That's what it says. I have to keep looking at these things to live a successful life. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, he says, meditate on those things day and night. Be careful. You'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be successful in what you do. And I know I say, who wants to be successful? Everybody's going to raise their hand. Yeah, we want to be successful. But not just for this life. This is not destination zero. Amen. Be doers of the word. That's what it begins to say in James. Be doers of the word. And not just hearers. Deceiving ourselves. Remember, these are the things of a herald. These are the things of productive ministry. And these are the things and principles that God has left to us. Yeah, if you don't believe it, then yeah, what are we here for? Right? These are the principles that God left to us. Kingdom principles for kingdom people. Amen? But the one who looks intently, I love that scripture. The one who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do it. Not thinking in his head what his brother did. Oh man, did you see what she did? Man, that's awesome. Praise God. Did you see what they did at Valero Field? I wasn't there, but man, praise God. And continues to do it. In what we do, we will be blessed. 1 Timothy says it like this, chapter 4. Until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. He says this right here. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. It's every one of us here. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Practice these things, he says. Be committed to them so that your progress may be evident to all. So that your progress may be evident to all. You can find this powerful scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 and 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And then he says, pay close attention. Pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for by doing these, you save both yourself and your hearers. And your hearers. Amen? Do those things that God has called you to do. Be that one, as brother begins to play. Be that one. Be that one that God has called. Be that one crying in the wilderness. Be that one that's unique, that's called, that's steadfast, set in place, unorthodoxed, skilled. Be that one, a master teacher. Be that visionary in your apartment complex, in your home, on your block. Be that one that God's called to do these very things that he laid in his word for us to do. What's so special about the Bible that it's not only written with God's word. It is the authoritative word of God. It just doesn't contain God's words written by 40 different authors, three different languages over 1,500 years ago. It just doesn't contain God's word, but it is God's word. God's word to us. He says in that scripture, be committed to them so that your progress, so that your progression may be seen by all. Don't you want those people to look and see, look at God working in them? Look at God working through that marriage. Look at God working through John David. Look at God working through that man of God. Remember when he was like this, I never thought that he would get up out of that. Remember when he was addicted to meth, I never thought that he could stop that. Remember when he committed adultery and those things? I never thought that the Lord would restore those things. Remember when his house and his home was all upside down and he didn't even want to go into the house because he knew what he would argue and run out to go get some drugs. I never thought that God would do that. Look at God. Be that unique one that he's doing those things in your life. The young ones, be that person that is such a time for this. I'm called to the kingdom to proclaim and to herald, to gather around the pole, prayer at the pole. Man, I'm that one that gathers and does a prayer call. Let's do this before school starts. Be that one that shines bright outside of the church house. Remove the landmines. Can you turn the light slow? Remove the landmines of compromise. Remove them. Allow God to take the fragments that the enemy left and make something in you that others will say and stand back and praise your God. Those fragments in your life that the enemy left, that he sifted, that he will make, God will make a masterpiece. Amen. We're not called to hold those scars. We're not called to hold those fragments. We're called to give them to God. And he will make us brand new. Amen. God can do wonders with the leftovers. God can turn it around for his good. Remove every hindrance, every wrong idea, every habit that hinders your progression and profession. Be moved enough to do something about what your community is facing, about what your family is facing. You know, sometimes I gather around friends and families and it's hopeless. So I'm there to be what? Go with the hopelessness? No, I'm there to stand up and say, but God can do it. Let's gather and pray, but God can do it at the family reunion. Yeah, that story, this and that, it may have hurt, but God can do it and change it around. Stay with the work. I want to encourage you to stay with that work. Find your assignment. Find your assignment. There's many people that you are called to speak to. There's many people that are waiting for you to arrive. They're waiting for you to arrive. There's many meth addicts. They're waiting for me to give a word. Hunger after him like never before. Track your progress. This is 2015, man. It's already here at this month. The other day I posted something that the last half of this year would be more successful and prosperous than the first half of this year. Track your progress in ministry. Track your progress in your life, in your marriage. Where am I at? What am I doing? Where am I going? Lord, guide me. Lord, speak to me. Lord, rearrange me. Lord, realign me. Lord, retool me. Reshape me. Reform me. Lord, show me. What's the next level? What's the next step? I'm a single mom. How do I do this? Where do I go? Lead me, Lord. Open that door. Sensitive. Remember Jesus, he says in the word in Matthew chapter 4. I want you guys to go home and read it. He's never laying aside those things on who he was and what he was called there to do. Never laying aside that thing. Hunger after him like never before. Be found faithful. Be found that faithful person to your assignment, to your home, to the vision of this house, to your pastor. Be found faithful. When others move and shift and transition, you're found faithful. To your home, your call, your community. A pattern for productive ministry. There's people in here right now that are ready to step out in ministry. Lord, I've been praying. Man, God's been building my character. I know last year I wasn't right. And last week I wasn't right, but Lord, use me. I'm ready to be used. I fall at your face like David. I do these things, but then I know where to go. Restore me, Lord. Prepare your hearts right now. God is going to do those things today, this morning. The productive pattern for ministry has been laid out, has been spoken in the atmosphere. These things that God has been doing in this place has been spoken in the atmosphere, been shaking those things up. Next few weeks, you're going to step out into that ministry. But let me encourage you with this. Do it in order. Do it in order. There's a man of God that's set in this house, an angel of this house. Do it in order. Let him bless you. Yes, mija. Yes, mijo. Do that thing, the call of the Lord in your life. Go to that property. Go to that darkness. Yes. Go in the name of the Lord. Do it in order. We're not here for man. We're not here for accolades and things, but we're here as a kingdom people, kingdom principles, ambassadors, doing things in order. He says in the Word, God says, I honor those who honor me. This man of God, Pastor Marty, he's called to be honored. He's called to be honored. I honor those who honor me. That's the Word of the Lord. This morning, we taught it. We preached it. And as we give this call, I'm going to give two calls this morning to the one that's lost, to the one, if there's anyone here in this room who has not made their Lord, Christ Jesus, their Lord and Savior, I want you to come forward and meet me here at the altar. We're going to pray for that. We're going to pray. If there's anyone here in this room that has not accepted the Lord, make that time now.